This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 10th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The architect who designed the annex to the Chicago Board of Trade building and the United Airlines Terminal 1 at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, Helmut John, has died. He was killed over the weekend in a bicycling accident in the western suburbs of Chicago when he did not stop as he crossed a road and was hit by cars going both ways. Chris Topple, CEO of Euronext London, Head of Sales Euronext, Chairman Euronext FX, Chairman Nord Pool, Chairman Comcise, Head of FICC and Advanced Data Services, had this to say on LinkedIn about Borsa Italiana joining Euronext. "We are delighted to welcome Borsa Italiana Group to Euronext. This marks a historic day in our ambition to create the leading pan-European market infrastructure, supporting local economies by connecting them to global markets and building the backbone of the capital markets union in Europe. Borsa Italiana will be a key market in Euronext's federal model, preserving its Italian identity and strengths to cater to the needs of the Italian community. It will join our single order book, which offers a unique gateway to Italian investors accessing the largest liquidity pool in Europe and enables international investors to access the Italian market. Together, we will become the leading venue for secondary markets in Europe, and we expect to enhance the businesses of all segments, leading to greater benefits for investors, members, and issuers alike." We missed a recent story from the Wall Street Journal that was an obituary for William Loupian, the former CEO of Instinet and technology pioneer who died at the age of 79. Financial Times has a special report on exchange-traded funds today. The titles of the articles include ESG Benchmark Divergence, No Barrier to Investor Demand, Spectre of Inflation Puts Fixed Income Managers on Edge, Tilt Towards Value Weighs on ARK Funds But Investors Hold Fast, Cannabis Investors Bet on Regulatory Softening, Should Thematic ETF Investors Be Worried About Liquidity? China's stocks defy U.S. blacklisting by nearly 20% this year. Silver ETF assets surge to all-time high as retail investors pile in. And U.S. takes active ETFs to next level while Europe stays cautious. The New York Times has a podcast titled, "Who Wins in a Meme Stock World?" Great question. Hong Kong Exchange won the In-House Communications Team of the Year Award in the Asia-Pacific Association of Communications Director 2020 Awards, which celebrate excellence among in-house communications professionals and teams across the region. Congratulations to David Hogue, OCC's Chief Information Officer, for his nomination as a finalist to the 2021 National CIO of the Year Orbi Awards for the corporate category, which includes CIOs for organizations up to $1 billion in annual revenue. This nomination recognizes Hogue's excellence in technology leadership and innovation at the OCC. Corn prices are up 50% in 2021, and the options trading floor pits are closed, never to reopen. Peter Tuchman, the NYSE trader referred to as the most photographed man on Wall Street, is profiled in an NPR story titled, "I Came Close to Dying. Wall Street's Most Photographed Man is Ready for Normalcy." Joshua Brown, the reformed broker, says Saturday Night Live is the modern-day shoeshine boy, noting Elon Musk's hosting of SNL. CME Group is looking for a TPRM client response analyst, which is an entry junior role in their compliance team for an enthusiastic new graduate. They will interact with clients and learn about many different aspects of a corporate environment, as well as operational functions such as information security and business continuity. Hat tip to CME Group Managing Director Carrie DeSanto. There was a whale stuck in the Thames in London over the weekend. It has been freed. No word on if it works for JP Morgan. Fact of the day, in 1966, an RJO employee, 22-year-old Sandra Stevens, became the first woman to ever work on the floor of the CME. Robert O'Brien Sr. and Leo Melamed were instrumental in advancing the role of women on the trading floor. That's via LinkedIn. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. With so much talk about all the retail business flooding into the futures market recently, let's take a quick look at the state of the event and other retail-focused contracts that the average punter is supposed to be eager to trade. More of Kalshi, the events market designated by the CFTC last November, still has not listed its first contract despite pumping event trading ideas about COVID vaccination rates, greenhouse gas emissions, and economic growth on its website. ErisX withdrew its proposed football sports betting contracts in March at about the same time the Minneapolis Grain Exchange was successfully certifying its corporate tax futures contract that is set to launch on May 24th. In the meantime, Nadex, home of exotic retail derivatives since 2004, reported trading in 64 different contracts on May 6th. There were 16 trades in three unemployment number event contracts that day, the day before the U.S. employment data was published. ISDA kicks off its 35th annual general meeting today. It extends through Wednesday, May 12th. Among its offerings are new 2021 ISDA interest rate derivatives definitions that the group says reflects changes in market practices. To better explain why the definitions were changed and how to access them, ISDA produced a brief animation video. You can watch it with a link in today's newsletter. The spread this week is titled CME Announces Close of Most of Its Trading Pits. CBO Dabbles in ESG. This week on the spread, the CBOE announces it's keeping most of its pit closed for good. CBOE is getting into ESG derivatives and more. You can watch the spread on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Washington Post. It's not a labor shortage, it's a great reassessment of work in America. From Wall Street to the White House, expectations were high for a hiring surge in April with potentially a million Americans returning to work. Instead, the world learned Friday that just 266,000 jobs were added, a massive disappointment that raises questions about whether the recovery is on track. President Biden's team has vowed that its massive stimulus package will recover all the remaining jobs lost during the pandemic in about a year, but that promise won't be kept unless there's a big pickup in hiring soon. There are still 8.2 million American jobs left to recover. At the same time, business leaders and Republicans are complaining that there is a worker shortage, and they largely blame the more generous unemployment payments and stimulus checks for making people less likely to take low-paying fast food and retail jobs again. Democratic economists counter that companies could raise pay if they really wanted workers back quickly. My comment, the pandemic was an inflection point in a lot of people's lives about what is important and what is not. Changes in careers are bound to be part of that. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The personality traits that make lockdown coping easier. Character plays a huge role in resilience, but not in the way many of us thought a year ago. In March 2020, still early in the pandemic, I opined that for introverts, quarantine can be a liberation. I was extrapolating from personal experience and historical examples, and many other pundits had similar hunch. But we were speculating before we had empirical data. Now that such information is available, what does it say? By and large, the research shows I was wrong, but I couldn't be happier because what the evidence actually says is that the truth, as usual, is more complex, more subtle, and more interesting. Being like Little Orphan Annie has its advantages. The sun will come out tomorrow. Here's a story from Reuters. Vlad the Vaccinator, Dracula's castle lures visitors with COVID-19 jabs. Visitors to Dracula's castle are more likely to find puncture marks in their arms than in their necks this month, after medics set up a COVID-19 vaccination center at the Transylvanian attraction. Doctors and nurses with fang stickers on their scrubs are offering free Pfizer shots to all comers at the 14th century Bran Castle, which is purported to be an inspiration for the vampire's towering home in Bram Stoker's Dracula. My comment, okay, this pandemic just got really weird. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Creative destruction is the silver lining of the COVID-19 crisis. Post-pandemic business is growing, and so are policy challenges. If there's a silver lining to the COVID-19 crisis, it is the remarkable creativity shown by the many businesses that have thrived by transforming themselves in unexpected ways during the pandemic. The examples I've come across are numerous. There is the airport security company that made plans to launch a vaccine tracking app after the travel business tanked, or the mall and store owners renting out empty retail spaces to schools that need more space for students to socially distance during lessons, or the digital businesses that can barely keep up with their own growth. My comment, this is the force that rules your life. The more you embrace creative destruction, the more you can move on. The floor traders on the CME Group trading floor who will not be returning to the floor because their pits are permanently closed never quite caught on to the idea. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked story on Friday was our lead story, the Wall Street Journal's From Dutch Tulips to Internet Stocks. Hotspot, a financial bubble, which compared cryptocurrencies and SPACs with past investment crazes. Second was an editorial from Bloomberg called Why Congress Should Care About the Laws of Physics, about the discovery in Batavia, Illinois, of an anomaly that might hold the key to explaining the deepest mysteries of the universe. Third was an opinion piece from David Brooks at the New York Times, our pathetic herd immunity failure. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. New SEC chairman sets sights on Citadel Securities and Virtu. Regulator questions payment for order flow, in which firms pay brokers such as Robinhood for opportunity to execute investors' orders. The electronic trading firms Citadel Securities and Virtu Financial Inc. have become pillars of the stock market in recent years, rivaling the role played by stock exchanges. Wall Street's new top regulator is putting pressure on them by questioning a key service they provide, executing the orders of millions of ordinary investors whose trades go to their black boxes instead of being routed to public exchanges. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal also. Hedge funds face backlash from Europe in bond market. Spain, France, and Italy have moved to curb orders from hedge funds to avoid demand for new bonds from appearing inflated, bankers said. European governments are acting to limit hedge funds' participation in the market for new sovereign bond issuance following a surge in demand from the firms. The pushback was prompted by unusually large orders placed by hedge funds for new bonds, which can then potentially be sold, sometimes within hours, to the European Central Bank for a profit, bankers, investors, and government officials said. Order books, which track demand for new bonds and help determine the price, have ballooned since hedge funds began to pile into this trade. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Ransomware attack shuts down biggest U.S. gasoline pipeline. The attack appeared to use ransomware group DarkSide. U.S. Energy Department is monitoring potential supply impacts. The operator of the biggest gasoline pipeline in the U.S. shut down operations late Friday following a ransomware attack that threatens to roil energy markets and upend the supply of gas and diesel to the East Coast. Colonial Pipeline said in a statement Saturday that it proactively took certain systems offline to contain the threat, which has temporarily halted all pipeline operations and affected some of our IT system. It's working to get business back to normal. Finally, here's a story from the Financial Times. U.S. and Europe split on bringing bankers back to the office. Transatlantic rift opens over speed at which employees should return to their desks. A transatlantic rift has opened up in banking over the merits of bringing employees back to the office early, with some U.S. executives calling for a swift return to pre-pandemic normality, while many of their European counterparts take a more cautious approach. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 11th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of JLN. FIA CEO and President Walt Lukin's latest commentary is about the closing of the trading pits in Chicago and potentially in London at the LME. It is a very well-crafted homage to what the trading floors meant to our industry and to the people who were part of them. He extols the value of trading floors as the ultimate internship, giving a generation of industry professionals a real-world experience filled with colorful characters and practical skills. At the end of the commentary, he lauds Futures Fundamentals, the MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity series, and the Greenwood Project for finding ways to provide knowledge and experience and opportunities for the next generation. He then gives a very kind plug to the JLN Open Outcry Traders History Project and pledges to give a second donation, which he did. Walt was also the second donation we received to our GoFundMe campaign the very first day we announced it. Thank you, Walt, for your industry leadership, your eloquent words honoring Open Outcry, and your kindness towards our efforts to preserve industry history with our various video series. There's a brief recap of day one of ISDA's AGM meeting. Also, here are a couple other items from ISDA. There's a video, What Role Will Derivatives Play in Tackling Global Climate Change? Second, ISDA AGM 2021, Eric Litvak, Chairman, a video. There was some good news on the COVID-19 front yesterday, as there were no new deaths in the UK, and in the US, new coronavirus cases dropped to an 11-month low. Also, the FDA in the US authorized the use of the Pfizer vaccine in use under 16 years old for the first time. SIBO is added again. SIBO on Monday proposed a rule change to list and trade shares of the Wise Origin Bitcoin Trust, commodity-based trust shares. The CME is having some success with its micro Bitcoin futures, with over 100,000 contracts traded to date. Former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, a former congressman and chief of staff for President Obama, is to be appointed ambassador to Japan. As mentioned earlier, Walt Lukin gave his second donation to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign, and Trading Technologies made their match of last week's donations. Thank you to Walt and TT and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Follow Walt's lead and help us preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here's a report from Suzanne Cosgrove. ISDA's 35th AGM. In a virtual fireside chat, ISDA CEO Scott Amelia asked CFTC Acting Chairman Rostin Benham how the Dodd-Frank Act prepared regulators for the market volatility of March and April 2020 at the onset of the pandemic shutdowns. The CFTC was quick to react, Benham said, but he added, once in a 100-year events or market shocks seem to be happening far more frequently. That makes me think about tail risk in context of a crisis, he said. We have to be prepared for tail risk, especially given the global nature of markets. From a regulator standpoint, a lot of Dodd-Frank's reforms have borne fruit over the last 10 years, Benham said, which was especially evident recently in the clearing space. Regulators need to keep markets safe and transparent, but not be a market impediment during stress periods, he said. We're working off Dodd-Frank, but we are aware that the markets are dynamic and changing. When O'Malley asked if the industry could expect further relief from initial margin rules, action that has been delayed for a year, Benham sidestepped the question, saying the CFTC was moving the conversation forward. Asked about the CFTC's role in climate change initiatives, Benham said that while many companies now voluntarily disclose ESG goals, the U.S. has to move to a mandated disclosure system. Derivatives will play a key role in product development related to climate change, he suggested, and should help at the back end of the transition to 2050 and the Paris Agreement goals. The London Metal Exchange is holding its LME Asia Metal Seminar on Tuesday, May 25th, from 9 to 17 Hong Kong time. It is a virtual seminar and will bring together industry leaders to share their insights into prospects of the metals markets, as well as the challenges and opportunities emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic. Speakers will include the new Hong Kong Exchange Chief Executive, Nicholas Aguzin, and will discuss sustainability initiatives and the latest industry trends in the global commodities market. You can go to our newsletter for a link and register for free. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from the Path to Electronic Trading series, Tom Sosnoff. Tom Sosnoff is a serial entrepreneur whose endeavors are transforming how people trade and understand the markets. Expanding on his success as an open outcry options trader on the CBOE, Sosnoff and his business partner, Scott Sheridan, built one of the first all-electronic online futures brokerage firms, thinkorswim. 10 years after launching thinkorswim, he sold it to TD Ameritrade and moved on to their next startup, Tasty Trade. To watch this video, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here is the beginning of the commentary from Walt Lukin. Viewpoint, the end of the era. As trading pits close, our industry must build knowledge and relationships in new ways. Last week's announcement that the CME will close most of its trading pits caught some by surprise, but it shouldn't have. We all knew this day was coming, but it doesn't take the sting out of it. Next month, LME also intends to make the call whether to close its ring. Before the world discovered that computers could connect traders from around the globe, the open outcry pits of Chicago, London, and New York were where markets flamboyantly flourished and the wisdom of the crowds came to discover prices, allocate capital, and hedge risk for agricultural, energy, and financial instruments. My comment, Walt Lukin is the right man for the right job at the right time. Here's a press release from the CME Group. CME Group Micro Bitcoin futures surpass 100,000 contracts traded. CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace, today announced that Micro Bitcoin futures volume surpassed 100,000 contracts in the new contract's first 6 days of trading. My comment, so how many Satoshis are in a Micro Bitcoin future at the CME Group? Here's the story from Business Insider. Merriam-Webster plans to auction the NFT of its definition of NFT. Merriam-Webster announced that it is planning to auction the NFT of its definition of NFT. NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, have surged in popularity this year, prompting the publisher's iconic dictionary to officially add the definition Tuesday. My comment, I'm thinking of some new acronyms that start with NF that I might be able to sell as NFTs. Here's a story from Mondovisione. NGX Group to launch the Stock Africa is Made Of campaign. Nigerian Exchange Group, or NGX Group PLC, is set to launch a campaign to project its new positioning and commitment to the African financial markets as a leading capital market infrastructure provider connecting Nigeria, Africa, and the world. Theme, the Stock Africa is Made Of. The campaign will kick off with a webinar on Tuesday, the 18th of May, 2021, and will amplify NGX Group's new brand identity and spotlight the growth potential of the African continent across traditional and digital media. My comment, it's a catchy slogan. Where can I get a t-shirt with that on it? Double extra large tall size, please. Here are the top three most read stories from Monday's JLN. Our most read story Monday was the tragic story from Crane Chicago Business. Helmut John leaves architectural legacy in Chicago and around the world about the architect of Chicago's Thompson Center and the United Airlines Terminal 1 at O'Hare International Airport, among others, who was killed in a bicycle accident on May 8th. He also designed the annex to the Chicago Board of Trade building that opened in the 1980s. Second was the Wall Street Journal's new SEC chairman set sights on Citadel Securities and Virtu about Chairman Gary Gensler's questioning Citadel and Virtu about payments for order flow. Third was, I came close to dying. Wall Street's most photographed man is ready for normalcy, from NPR. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From the Wall Street Journal, CFTC whistleblower program in peril over potential $100 million plus payout. Agency in turmoil over proposed award to ex-Deutsche Bank executive who provided information in LIBOR investigation. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission whistleblower program is in turmoil over a potential payout exceeding $100 million to a former Deutsche Bank AG executive, one so large it would deplete the agency's whistleblower funds, and has led to it seek congressional action. The executive had provided information that helped CFTC and Justice Department investigators that led to roughly $2.5 billion in settlements with Deutsche Bank in 2015, including $800 million with the CFTC. They alleged that the bank manipulated the London Interbank Offered Rate, or LIBOR, a benchmark interest rate used to set short-term loans for global banks. Here's a story from Bloomberg. CBOE files to list Fidelity Bitcoin ETF among regulatory tests. CBOE Global Markets Inc. is seeking to list a Fidelity Bitcoin exchange-traded fund in the U.S. despite the prospect of an icy regulatory reception. CBOE proposed Monday in a filing with the U.S. and Securities Exchange Commission to list Fidelity's Wise Origin Bitcoin Trust, saying concerns about potential manipulation of a Bitcoin exchange-traded product have been significantly mitigated. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Wall Street giants get swept up in India's brutal COVID wave. About 8,300 miles east of Wall Street on a stretch of Bangalore's Outer Ring Road sits what once was the heart of the global financial industry's back office. Before the pandemic, this cluster of glass and steel towers housed thousands of employees at firms like Goldman Sachs Inc. and UBS Group AG, who played critical roles in everything from risk management to customer service and compliance. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Commodity booms send bulk shipping costs to decade highs. China's insatiable appetite for iron ore is key factor in surge in dry bulk index. Rates for ships carrying commodities that fuel global industries and keep the world fed have soared, raising hopes of a turnaround in fortunes for the embattled dry bulk shipping sector. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 12, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Suzanne Cosgrove. Is the 35th AGM, are derivatives a green solution? None of this is easy. We are making this up as we go along. Unraveling how to effectively mitigate the economic and market risks associated with climate change was the focus of an ISDA meeting session on Tuesday. But while the panel of international regulators and banking officials outlined their considerable and ongoing efforts, a clear path to a uniform solution remained elusive. We in derivatives understand complexity, said panel moderator Stephen Kennedy, ISDA's global head of public policy. Even so, he said, understanding the breadth and scope of ESG and climate change is a true challenge. Sarah Breeden, executive director, Bank of England, said her mission was green finance and finance green to support the orderly transition of the economy to net zero. To read the rest of this story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. There is greater volatility at the CME today, or better put, there are more volatility indexes published by the CME Group across nearly every investable asset class. CME Group announced today that it had added several new benchmark indices to its suite of CME Group Volatility Indexes, or CVOL. There is now implied volatility information across five new multi-product indexes on treasuries, agriculture, energy, metals, and commodities. There are also several new single product benchmark indices based on the CME Group's highly liquid options market. By the way, my spell check did not like the word investable. It wanted to change it to investable. However, the difference in the words is that investable means ready for investment, and investable means can be invested. Making the indices available to trade would make them investable. In the meantime, we can get ready. ICE is offering a new way to compare apples to oranges in the ESG sector. ICE announced it has expanded its environmental, social, and governance reference data platform to include high-quality, granular data that enables actionable comparisons across companies and sectors. The company also shared a selection of findings from across each of the three categories. Euronext leadership is doing a good job of telling the story of what the acquisition of Borsa Italiana does for the exchange's competitive strategy and position. The latest to tell the story via LinkedIn is Stefan Buzna, CEO and chairman of the managing board of Euronext. He wrote, "Yesterday, I was invited by Euronews to explain the rationale of the acquisition of Borsa Italiana and the migration of our core data center activities to a completely green and new generation data center in Bergamo, Italy. The acquisition of Borsa Italiana Group is a game changer in terms of scale, diversity of assets, and revenue mix. It is the most significant event since the group was established 2 decades ago. Our combined group is now the leading pan-European market infrastructure, firmly positioned as the number one venue in Europe for listing, secondary markets, and equity financing. Euronext is also becoming a critical player in the post-trade landscape and debt financing in Europe. By building the backbone of the capital markets union in Europe, we have never before been so strongly positioned to serve the post-COVID real economy in Europe. Never before could we so proudly display our European roots and global ambitions. Back in 2019, JLN included a Bloomberg story by Jeffrey Baer titled CEO's $17,000 Birthday Party Spurs Commodity Brokerage Lawsuit. The story can be found with a link in today's newsletter. Yesterday, we were contacted by a press agent for the firm with this statement by OTC Global about the item reported in JLN. OTC Global Holdings LP and its affiliated and related entities, officers, directors, and employees, and John F. Klosik announced that they have resolved all claims between them. All matters are now closed, without a finding of liability against or a finding of any misconduct by any party, and the parties deny any wrongdoing as to each other. The resolution of the claims is confidential, and all parties' claims and counterclaims have been dismissed with prejudice. The law firm of Vinson and Elkins is holding a CLE event webcast titled Unpacking the Freeze in Texas, Lessons Learned and a Path Forward today. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. How much money do you have to make investing in Dogecoin before you would quit your job at Goldman Sachs? We have one data point for this question, as Aziz McMahon, head of emerging market sales at Goldman, has left the firm after making millions of dollars from the recent rise in Dogecoin. Tess Belton, an intern for the CME back in 2013, who participated in the inaugural MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity Summer Intern Series, is featured in Poets and Quants annual list of 100 best and brightest MBAs. She is working on an MBA at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. ISDA published a short brief today about day two of their AGM. There's a link in today's newsletter. Suzanne Cosgrove reports the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation reported that adult-use cannabis sales rose again in April, totaling more than $114.9 million. Combined with April's medical cannabis sales, total revenue topped $150.2 million in Illinois, up 3.7% from March. Where does that money go? Earlier this year, the Tax Foundation took a look at tax revenues in the states where recreational cannabis is currently legal, including Illinois. Check your state with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. This is from Bloomberg. GameStop and Dogecoin are this generation's rock and roll, and they're changing how markets work. Get-rich-quick trading is partly about entertainment, but it's having a very real impact on markets. It's been a weird year for the old guard of the financial markets industry. Consider the events of last week. U.S. employment data trailed economists' forecasts by the most on record, and more than 130 companies in the S&P 500 reported earnings. Now consider what created the most buzz in the markets. A massive rally in Dogecoin amid speculation that Tesla Inc. founder Elon Musk would give the cryptocurrency a boost while hosting Saturday Night Live. My comment, fear and greed do not change. Here's a story from The Guardian. Goldman Sachs executive quits after making millions from Dogecoin. A senior manager at Goldman Sachs in London has quit the U.S. investment bank after making millions from investing in Dogecoin, the joke crypto asset which has risen by more than 1,000% in value this year. Citi sources said Aziz McMahon, a managing director and head of emerging market sales, has resigned from the bank after making money from investing in the digital currency based on the Doge internet meme. I look forward to the movie where the plucky Goldman Sachs executive is laughed at but makes millions in the end, Jeff Bergstrom commented. Here's a press release from the CME Group. CME Group grows suite of CVOL indices to include key measures of implied volatility in treasuries, agriculture, energy, metals, and cross commodities. CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace, today announced it has added several new benchmark indexes to its suite of CME Group Volatility Indexes, or CVOL. Together with the previously introduced indices, CME Group now offers 40-plus CVOL indices across nearly every investable asset class. Beginning today, market participants can now access implied volatility information across five new multi-product indices on treasuries, agriculture, energy, metals, and commodities, as well as several single-product benchmark indices based on the CME Group's highly liquid options markets. My comment, it used to be easy to measure volatility at the CME by looking at whether Terry Duffy's jugular was bulging or not. Here is an entry from the Trading Technologies Trade Talk blog. Five questions with Michael Andretis of Athens Stock Exchange. One of TT's key differentiators is the ease with which we can connect new markets to the platform. In fact, we have added more than 10 exchanges to TT over the last 18 months. The most recent addition to our expanding portfolio of market connectivity offerings is the Athens Stock Exchange, or ATHEX, which is the national stock exchange of Greece. On the heels of announcing the availability of ATHEX derivatives market on TT, we invited Michael Andretis, Chief Markets Operation and Business Development Officer at ATHEX, to tell more about the exchange and share his perspectives on some of the issues facing that region. We hope you enjoy this conversation with Michael. For more information, please visit the ATHEX website. My comment, I'm sure Elise Fleshaker would have preferred to travel to Greece for this interview, so would I. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story on Tuesday was the Wall Street Journal's CFTC whistleblower program in peril over potential $100 million plus payout. Second was the video, Tom Sosnoff, The Path to Electronic Trading, from John Lothian News. Third was a repeat from Monday's top three, NPR's I Came Close to Dying, Wall Street's Most Photographed Man is Ready for Normalcy, about stock trader Peter Tuchman. This is John Lothian with the daily commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 13th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. For years, I have extolled the leadership of NASDAQ CEO Adena Friedman, and evidently I am not the only one. Friedman was named one of the world's greatest leaders by Fortune magazine. I wholeheartedly agree, and I bet NASDAQ will buy more than one table for the banquet when Friedman is presented with the award. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is hosting an online event, the Global Forum on Economic Recovery, on May 18th and 19th. There's a link in today's newsletter to register. The Small Exchange announced it is launching Small Crude Oil, a $6,600 size WTI contract, on May 17th. We interviewed Donnie Roberts, CEO of the Small Exchange, on Tuesday and should have that interview out soon. He gives an update on the exchange since it launched and its recent growth in volume and open interest and new contracts planned. The bank I use for business and which has my home mortgage, U.S. Bank, has been named a 2021 World's Best Bank by Global Finance magazine. The FCA and the Bank of England dropped a big hint today about which benchmark participants should switch to in sterling exchange-traded derivatives as of June 17th. Bloomberg is reporting that Bitcoin falls below $50,000 as Musk calls energy use, quote, insane. I hope he did not sell his Bitcoin before this statement. After calling Bitcoin energy use insane and Dogecoin a hustle, I'm not sure Mr. Musk is much of a friend of crypto anymore. The good news is reported by Joe Weisenthal in Bloomberg in a story titled, Elon Musk just helped ease the semiconductor shortage. Do you want to learn more about UK equities and recently launched derivatives on various FTSE 100 indexes? You can join FTSE Russell and Eurex for a webinar on Thursday, May 20th at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time. There's a link in today's newsletter to register. Do you have RMB exposure? Check out Hong Kong Exchange's mini U.S. dollar to CNH futures, which are off to a strong start with more than 80,000 contracts traded since they launched 2 weeks ago. There's a link for more information about the contract in today's newsletter. Also, open interest on Hang Seng Tech Index options set a new record of 10,384 contracts on May 11th, surpassing the 10,000 mark for the first time since the contract launch in January 2021. Merrill Private Wealth Management is looking to grow its pool of associates. You can find information about some of the jobs available with a link in today's newsletter. Don't forget to register for FIA's webinar on UK-EU, Rebuilding a Relationship. There's a link to register in today's newsletter. Speaking of FIA, FI Tech has earned Great Place to Work certification. Paul Houston, the global head of FX products at the CME Group, shared on LinkedIn that CME FX options have seen a 5x increase in block trades in 2021 year on year, with end users from the buy side community taking liquidity from bank and non-bank liquidity providers. The Danes can't leave alone those mink that contracted the coronavirus and are now digging them up to stem contamination. Do you want to know more about DRW? Check out their About Us video. There's a link in today's newsletter. I have a new idea for a James Bond movie. It's kind of like Goldfinger, except in this one, bad guys are trying to destroy the only copy of the government's passwords for the Bitcoin that the Department of Justice has confiscated. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. We did release the Open Outcry Traders History Project interview with TastyTrade CEO Tom Sosnoff. This was the first part of our interview with him. The second part was published as part of the Path to Electronic Trading series. There's a link in today's newsletter for the video. ISDA wound up its final day of its 35th AGM yesterday. A link for the summary of the day's events is in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Tom Sosnoff, Open Outcry Traders History Project. The CEO of TastyTrade, Tom Sosnoff, was interviewed by John Lothian News for the Open Outcry Traders History Project. Sosnoff was a trader on the floor of the CBOE for 20 years after growing up in New York. He moved to Chicago at the behest of some co-workers at his first job at Drexel and Burr, who wanted to start a fund and wanted Sosnoff to execute the trades on the CBOE floor for them. Sosnoff leveraged his experience on the floor into other ventures, some of which worked and some of which did not. Those ventures have included thinkorswim and TastyTrade. Here's a story from Nasdaq. Nasdaq President and Chief Executive Officer Adena Friedman was named by Fortune magazine as one of the world's greatest leaders for 2021 in recognition of her work to address the lack of diversity in corporate America. Fortune highlighted Nasdaq's recent board diversity proposal, which aims to drive greater transparency on corporate governance by providing a standardized disclosure framework for boardroom diversity. If approved by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the new listing rules would require most Nasdaq-listed companies to have or explain why they do not have at least two diverse directors, including one woman and one who self-identifies as either an underrepresented minority or LGBTQ. Congratulations to Adina Friedman for this honor. I concur. Here is a commentary from LinkedIn by Heike Eckert, Brave New Working World. The current global pandemic is not the first one in history. Like the ones before, it deeply impacts our society on many levels. Amongst other things, it forces us to take a closer look at the mechanics of our social contracts, and that goes well beyond the unparalleled effort to protect the health and economic vitality of our people. One important factor currently brought into focus is the way we work and collaborate. It has become evident that the new post-pandemic reality will be noticeably different from our previous working world. My comment, I always listen to Heike. Here's a press release from Trading Technologies. Trading Technologies and CloudQuant launched strategic partnership to explore creation of alternative data offering. Trading Technologies International, Inc., a global provider of high-performance professional trading software, infrastructure, and data solutions, and CloudQuant, a premier vendor of alternative data, artificial intelligence, and data integration technologies, today announced TT has engaged CloudQuant to advise on the creation of a new data business unit. The two firms have entered into an exclusive partnership to explore the delivery of data advisory service and alt data through the TT platform to TT's global user base. My comment, TT is not standing still despite trying to sell itself. It's exploring new horizons all the way to the cloud quants and beyond. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our most clicked story Wednesday was Reuters, New York wins Brexit swaps shake up as clearing stays in London. Second was CEO's $17,000 birthday party spurs commodity brokerage lawsuit from Bloomberg Quint. And third was Goldman Sachs executive quits after making millions from Dogecoin from The Guardian.
This is Patrick Lothian with the John Lothian News Daily Update. From John Lothian, good news from the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention yesterday, who said the fully vaccinated could stop wearing masks and physically distancing in most settings. You still have to wear a mask where you are asked to by a business or building or airline, bus or subway, etc. That will make it hard for businesses to differentiate between those who are fully vaccinated and those who are not and want to pretend they are because they are tired and against wearing masks. This story is from the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. I'm going to keep wearing my mask at the time being, and I'm going to wear my vaccination card around my neck. If you want to go to college in Chicago, you will need to be fully vaccinated, as most of the major Chicago universities and colleges are requiring students to be fully vaccinated to attend in-person classes next fall. There is also good news to the Chicago Federal Reserve. Crane's Business reported as the Chicago Fed said business conditions in Chicago are the best in years. Even 1871 in Chicago is getting into the act, saying they have a lot of momentum in the startup sector going on. Now if the Cubs could only get as hot as the White Sox. From Crane's Chicago Business. CBOE Global Markets Inc. held its annual meeting yesterday, and some of the highlights were: Edward T. Tilley will serve as chairman of the board for a fifth consecutive year. Eugene S. Sunshine, who served on the board of the CBOE Global Markets since 2010 and CBOE Options from 2003 to 2017, will serve as lead director for a fourth consecutive year. Michael L. Richer did not stand for re-election as a director at the annual meeting. Mr. Richer served on the board since 2017. ICE NYSE has made a great hire, Bailey Kessing, formerly of Trillium, is now Director of Sales and Relationship Management at NYSE. The Australian Securities Investment Commission issued a warning against fake news scams. This is the truth, I swear. Some of the fake news articles even dared to use the ASIC logo and say they were approved by the ASIC. Story from ASIC. The UK's FCA proposed stronger protections for consumers in the financial markets. In 2020, the FCA conducted a poll, the Financial Lives Survey, which showed that 1 in 4 respondents said they lack confidence in the financial service industry, and only 35 of respondents agreed that firms are honest and transparent in their dealings with them. This is from UK FCA. Remind me again how Bitcoin is traceable. Colonial Pipeline paid through $5 million in ransom to hackers who asked to be paid in Bitcoin, from the New York Times. Have you heard of the name Tradier? They are a very interesting brokerage firm, and they were looking for relationships with educators. I had a call with their leadership the other day, and we will have more about them coming soon. You might not know the name, but I bet you use his product. Spencer Silver, an inventor of Post-it notes, is dead at 80. The New York Times reported. He discovered the not-too-sticky substance by accident while trying to make a very sticky substance for aircraft construction. Being a runner, phone clerk, or broker's assistant were not the roles that normally got the girl, but a former clerk on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade is now dating actress Olivia Munn. Of course, that former floor clerk is comedian John Mulaney, who used to work for Bob Otter. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice, from John Lothian. And now a note by Matt Rabel. Elon Musk is apparently backpedaling on his bullish stance on Bitcoin, despite his long-held bullish attitude. I guess he just found out that Bitcoin is super bad for the environment. He does realize that Dogecoin is also bad to the environment for the same reasons, right? A story by Greg Hinz of Crane Chicago Business. Chicago Fed finds biz conditions here the best in years. Sure, the region has been through a rough patch, but there are early and surprisingly strong signs that certain sectors of the local economy are springing back to life. Business conditions in the Midwest regions, including Chicago, in some ways are the best they've been in nearly a decade, according to the latest survey of business conditions by the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. But the picture is more mixed than it might appear at first blush, with hiring for lower income jobs and capital spending particular peppy, but growth slower for high-paid positions and cost pressures starting to perk up. A comment by John Lothian. There are parts of Chicago that are really buzzing with activity, including North Michigan Avenue and Fulton Market area. The downtown Loop Financial District, not so much. Story by Emily Drake of Crane Chicago Business. We've got a ton of momentum. Betsy Ziegler, CEO of Tech Hub 1871, talks about the future of innovation in Chicago and the role of entrepreneurship will play in the recovery. This week, we connect with Betsy Ziegler, CEO of 1871, one of Chicago's leading tech hubs, to talk about startups, building an inclusive economy, and the future of innovation for Chicago. A note by John Lothian. If this was London, they would say we have tons of momentum. A story by Wendell Hudson of Crane Chicago Business. Northwestern students must have COVID vaccine to return in fall. The university joins Loyola, DePaul University, and Columbia College Chicago in that requirement. Northwestern University is another local college to require students to be vaccinated before returning to campus this fall. As confidence increases in the effectiveness and safety of the vaccine, and the supply has met the demand in Illinois, Northwestern will require students to be vaccinated against COVID-19 for the 2021-2022 academic year. The school said COVID-19 vaccines are the most important tool to help end the pandemic, and requiring students to be vaccinated will best support the health of our community and position us for in-person classroom and co-curricular activities for the fall term. Comment by John Lothian. They must have a vaccine and other shots, just like in grade school. A story by Phil McIntosh of NASDAQ. More intelligent tick plan for odd lots. Round lots are an artifact of old human-driven markets. Given modern computer trading systems frequently disregard round lot conventions, it seems inconsistent that regulations designed to modernize markets still want to retain the artifact of the past. We talked last week about how the new NMS2 round lot plan doesn't actually fix the odd lot problem, with the decimal ticks and odd lots structure for trading. It turns out that the real market doesn't care much for convention. That, in turn, highlights the problem with regulations treating odd lots differently. A comment by John Lothian, this is an important issue, keep going, Phil. Now Thursday's top three. Our top story Thursday was a Bloomberg opinion piece, A New Global Monetary Order Threatens the Dollar. The new order is apparently a parallel financial system led by stablecoins. Second was a repeat from Wednesday's top three, Bloomberg Quince CEO's 17,000 birthday party spurs commodity brokerage lawsuit. Third was the About Us page from DRW. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a 90-day free trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. This has been Patrick Lothian. Have a great weekend.